الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and sisters, listening over receivers, and all those listening over the radio stations. As we know that the Hujjaj Kiram, most of them, they leave after the pelting of the 12th. Some of them remain according to Sunnah till the 13th. But millions of them gather there, and amongst those millions are those people who have not yet been to Madinah Munawwara. They arrive directly in Makkah Mukarramah from different parts of the world. So they will be heading for Madinah Sharif. Nabiye Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ziyarat they will be making after Hajj. So the heart naturally goes then to Madinah Sharif. This Naj Sharif, which is also a Naj Sharif in which the importance of Zikrullah has been mentioned. And since this Majlis is Majlis of Zikr, and I have mentioned many, many times that discussion of any aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life is Zikrullah. Discussion of any Hadith Sharif is Zikrullah. Discussion of any Ayat of the Quran Sharif is Zikrullah. Discussion of some masail of deen is also zikrullah. Anything that connects a person and bonds a person with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is zikrullah. Anything that reminds us of what our duties are as Muslims and what should we be doing with regards to our practices, if we want to do it according to the Quran and Sunnah, a discussion of that is zikrullah. Because that is what the life of a Muslim is all about. The Hujjaj, the Hajj that they made, they didn't make according to their whim and fancy. It's not that they went to Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat as they desired. That somebody felt like going on the 8th to Arafat, so he went on the 8th, and somebody felt like going on the 10th, so he went on the 10th. And somebody wanted to stone 3 days before the 10th, so he did that, nothing like that. Every person wants to know what did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say with regards to this aspect of Hajj. There could be a little bit of difference of opinion among the jurists in the interpretation or explanation of some Hadith Sharif, but in reality it was that Hajj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from where these masail were deduced. Every aspect of Hajj, from where is the mas'ala deduced for the ruling? It's from the Hajj of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He demonstrated it by practical example. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave different instructions at different places. Different khutbahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam authentically recorded. Where can we ever find that kind of history where from our time right up to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Hajj, we can give you a chain of narrators and reporters. The Hadith Sharif or the Ahadith that are recorded in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and all these kitabs of Ahadith, the authentic Ahadith, we can take it right up to Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Hajj. Every detail of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's Hajj. What beautiful deen Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us. So that is deen, to follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, to follow the Quran Sharif's teachings. So this majlis, as you all know, on a Thursday is majlis or zikr. It's not for academic discussion. So therefore we will now read this, we'll listen to this Naat Sharif, which you have heard many, many times, and explanation also I have given many times. So it will be a repeat. Therefore I term these repeats as the drips that are given to the patients. Some of them say this repeat, this majlis is for the purpose of islah. Now, sometimes a person does not get affected by the first time that he listens to something. Second time he hears it, third time he listens to it, then suddenly it takes an effect on the heart. So this is for that purpose, that it is like the drips, that drop by drop, it starts affecting the life of the patient. The improvement comes. After the first couple drops, they don't say, now stop it, that's enough. They say, even if it takes 2 hours or 3 hours, it has to be completed. The cause has to be taken. So like that, I've many times said that when we are filling up the petrol tank, then it is not the last drop that fills the tank. The last drop definitely fills the tank, but it is not the last drop that in reality fills the tank. If it had not been for the first one and the second one and the tenth one and the plentieth one, we would not have reached the last drop. So there is a need for that first and the last. So listen with that intention, with an intention of amal. Most of our listening now is for nothing but mental gymnastics, as they call it. That's all. Some kind of exercise for the mind. Or some kind of enjoyment and pleasure. There's no doubt there is some enjoyment and some pleasure also. In all the ibadat that a person does, if he's got true love for Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there'll be great enjoyment. Ask the Hujjaj what kind of enjoyment they got in making the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, in kissing the Hajr-e Aswad if they got the opportunity, in clinging to the Multazam, in making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, in drinking Zamzam, in making sa'i between Safa and Marwa, or that excitement that was building up just before they were leaving for Mina, and when they arrive at Mina, and then especially at Arafat, what kind of enjoyment. And then again, Muzdalifah. In everything, there is some kind of enjoyment, provided the person has got some kind of a heart that is, in which there is love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's not just the completion of some kind of farz and obligation. For many people, it is just nothing but an obligation. Hajj has become farz, so I have to make it and finish. So for them, there will be no enjoyment, the person who just wants to get over it. But the person who has gone there with true niyat and intention, then he will enjoy it. So there is some enjoyment. There's no doubt about that. But that is not the purpose of all this ibadat, zikr, tilawat, etc. That means if you don't get enjoyment, then we don't do it. Some people say that I'm reading the Quran Sharif, but I'm not getting the enjoyment. I make zikrullah, but I don't get enjoyment. I do some other good works, but I don't seem to get the enjoyment. So therefore I gave it up. So does it mean that we are doing it for the enjoyment only? That means we have become bandas of enjoyment, ashiks of enjoyment, that's all. Indeed, as I said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then give such enjoyment that the person will look forward to it. In the early days when a person starts jogging, when he hasn't done any kind of exercise at all, and he also suddenly gets interested in jogging, and he says that soon I'm going to run the marathon. So the first couple of days, he's not going to get any kind of real enjoyment, he's going to get pain. But after some time, it will become a passion. The person now gets a passion for it. Then the whole world can tell him, what is this early part of the morning you're pounding the streets? Rain, hail, stone, sunshine, winter, summer, nothing. You look at, You are just going on and on and on until you know that you will be able to run that 84 kilometers or whatever it is. So it becomes a passion, as the people who are climbing the mountains. 120 times I've said that the Everest mountain, just look at it. People are just not stopping. They're just going on and on and on. Yet knowing that so many people went to rest forever. But still there is no question of giving it up. There's a passion, enjoyment. So that is what our life must become. There must be kind of a passion. There must be kind of an enjoyment. We look forward to good deeds and actions and ibadat and zikr and tilawat, serving the poor, the needy, the destitute, assisting and helping in whichever way we can, serving our community in whichever way we can. Our life must become full. It must not be just an empty life, nothing. Morning we went to work, evening we returned, then we switched on the television and watched till late, and after that went to sleep and got up again in the morning and went to work again. And if it's a weekend, then we go and have a nice good fun and entertainment and party and it's all over. There is a place for everything. There's no question of Islam making things very difficult, that you can't have any kind of enjoyment, no entertainment, no fun. There's plenty of opportunities for that, and there's a lot of direction and hidayat that has been given in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they laughed, they joked, they were happy, cheerful, but when it came to deen and crying before Allah Ta'ala, then there was no limit. So everything, they had a balanced life. They had balanced their life. Everything, there was a place and a position. It was not a question of 7 to 7, 7 days a week kind of thing for them. That because earning a livelihood is something that is necessary, something that's an obligation, a person must not go and beg, he must earn some kind of halal risk and sustenance. So now we say, therefore, I am doing something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered the Muslim to do, earn halal. So now in the earning of that halal, now he engages in so much of haram. The namazas are going, the ibadat is affected, the tilawat is affected, the care of the poor and the needy is affected. Then if somebody is sick and ailing and they're in hospital and they're dying and the close family member or relative and they need some kind of assistance, that is neglected. We don't even have the time to then take our own wives and our own children to the doctors or to the specialists or wherever it may be necessary. And then in the process, we don't only spoil our own life, but we ruin the lives of others also. In our quest for the accumulation of that wealth, which we were saying was earning of halal livelihood, which was an Islamic obligation, then we ruin our family life too and ruin the family life of others also. Wallah, so many people's family lives have been affected, and seriously affected. But they can't help it because it is a question of they have to provide for the families. They have to find the money for the rentals. They have to pay for the electricity. And as we know that ESCOM is just increasing and increasing. The tariffs are going sky high. Now what this poor person must do? So he's got no choice. He has to take the job, like it or not. So that is not then deen. That is nafs. We can call it halal livelihood, but that's not deen. That is nafs. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majmain, who are our examples, look at their lives. They also did business. They also did farming. And then if we talk about, as I always say, the glorious days of Islam, which were the glorious days? Now look at their lifestyle. They had time for deen, they had time for tahajjud, ishraq, they had time for namazas, they had time for jihad, they had time for earning, they had time for business, they had time for the children, they had time for their wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with all the responsibilities and obligations, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with all his concern for the ummah, but look at the time he shares. Time for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, time for the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is the reason that we repeat this, so that we get some kind of enjoyment afterwards, which is true enjoyment. Or we begin to look forward to ibadat, zikr, tilawat, fulfillment of the rights of people, khidmat and service to the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And abstinence from sins. Now that is the most difficult thing. positive side, still at least we get some enjoyment, so we carry it out. But when it comes to abstinence from sins, that is the most difficult. We'll make our namaz and then go to the cinema. We'll make our namaz and then go to the porn site. We'll make our namaz and then go and listen to the haram music. We'll make our namaz and then start phoning and chatting and mix it and chat lines and everything else that we've got. Then the illicit beloveds, that is where we start contacting them. But first we'll make namaz. There's nothing wrong with the namaz. But the problem is that that namaz has not reached that stage which prevents us from all things that are immoral, shameless, indecent and obscene. That namaz that we make, what kind of a namaz that will be if we come into the namaz after having watched haram? So many people that we deal with, people are writing from different parts of the world. And this is the weakness, this is the problem. Now, there is a sickness and a disease which is rampant and it's contagious also. We talk too much about contagious diseases. This has become a contagious disease. Because the person who is watching all these type of things, he doesn't even watch himself. He invites his friends and one time they must watch and finish. It's contagious, it catches on. We don't believe in the other diseases that are being contagious in that manner. Our belief is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many people are going to be affected by that disease, they will be affected. Certain diseases are such that a large number of people will be affected. But this business that now you cannot go into that house and now you must not touch anybody and now you mustn't eat there, and all those kind of things, if we had to believe in, then the moment the child was suffering from smallpox or measles, then everybody must leave that home and run away. The parents must leave that child also. Why must they stay around the child? Because it's contagious, they say. Yes, there are precautions that a person takes. It is a different thing. That is a world of means, so we have to take certain precautions with regards to certain issues. But to believe that now all who are getting affected are because of that child, or because of that one person in the house, or because of, then if that was the case, as I said, then everybody must run away, or take the child and go and dump the child somewhere. So look at Islam, how beautiful teaching, because just now in the month of Safar will come, then all these type of superstitious beliefs will again raise their heads. So we believe that just as the first person got sick, after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is in His power, many, many people will get sick, catching that same disease and sickness. Doctors would have had to leave the patients and go away. Why must they go near the patients then? Whether they are injecting that patient or whether giving some medication or giving drips or whatever it may be, but those nurses and doctors have to come near the patients. They have to enter those wards. In any case, I think we're going in a different direction, but whatever comes, I believe, comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for my benefit or your benefit. لذتِ ذکرِ نامِ خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن لذتِ ذکرِ نامِ خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن لذتِ ذکرِ نامِ خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن آپ کے نام پر جس نے ہجرت کیا پا گیا وہ بہار وطن لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن. If we really want the enjoyment of orchards and gardens and fountains and beautiful, beautiful, lush gardens, then it is in the taking of the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's name is such that in there is such kind of enjoyment which a person gets in beautiful, beautiful gardens. In fact, in those beautiful gardens also a person cannot get enjoyment. If his heart is restless, he cannot get enjoyment, irrespective of what kind of gardens he may be sitting in. If a king has got a huge palace and beautiful gardens and orchards and everything else that you can dream of, But he is fearing a coup d'etat. He is fearing that somebody is going to blow his head up. Or if a person has been charged for murder, and now he's going to be sentenced. Now you take him to a beautiful garden and say, why are you worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Sit here and enjoy the lush and beautiful garden. Will he enjoy it? While he's sitting there also, he'll be dreaming of the cells that he will be put into if he is committed. So the enjoyment of those gardens also is in the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give that person sukoon in his heart. Tranquility, peace, sukoon will come into the heart if Allah Ta'ala is pleased. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is pleased. If the person is going to obey Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah Ta'ala will put that happiness and sukoon into the heart. He will put it. Happiness comes from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sadness will come from Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala wants to make the life of a person miserable, then in the midst of everything, He can make it miserable. In the midst of all fortunes, He can make it miserable. And if Allah Ta'ala wants to give him a happy life, then even in the midst of those fortunes, He can make it a happy one. So that is not the criteria that how much a person has or doesn't have. Having everything also, he can be the greatest waliullah. And having absolutely nothing too, he can be waliullah. The criteria is doing things for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, fulfillment of the commands of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. So, lazzate zikre naame khuda hai chaman, aur ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht o daman. This life of negligence which we are at present all caught up in. Negligence, nothing, no concern. It is as if we are, there is no akhirah, there is no day of judgment, there is no hereafter, nothing. As I said, that we just lead a life, coming and going, nothing else. And we are negligent. Eat, drink, wear good clothes, travel in good car, nobody stops within the parameters of Sharia, make use of the ni'mat. But to be caught up in all the vices of that same West that we sit and condemn all the time. America is like this, Britain is like this, and France is like this. So it's not France, it is not Britain, it's not America. It is what is happening there, what the people living in America are doing, which we consider and regard as evil, mischievous, sinful, haram, un-Islamic. The oppression, the tyranny, whatever it is. It's not the whole of America. There are lots of good Muslims in America. Lots of good Muslims in Britain, in France, and in other parts of the world. But generally we say America, we say Europe, we say the West. Why do we say that? Because there's so much of export of haram from those places. So much of export. Now before it used to take a long, long time if something comes in, into vogue there, it takes a long time before it reaches the shores of another country. And now with the flick of a switch, you can pick it up anywhere in the world. And that same trend, that same fashion, that same obscenity, that same shamelessness, that same nudity, that same haram shows and entertainment, whatever is taking place there within a flick of a switch, and the person is also looking at it, watching it, and thereafter it is capturing his heart and captivating him also. So that is what we are condemning. Why only one part of it we condemn, and that is the tyranny and the oppression? That is one part of it. Indeed, we'll condemn that too. But what about all the other things which we ourselves are enjoying? We ourselves are enjoying. Why don't we condemn that? Why don't we say that this is also something that is corrupting, something that is destroying the moral fiber of our youth and our women and our children and our men? The young and the old. Look at the old people. We never heard of such kind of things happening in the past. What is it the effect of? It is the effect of the same movies and TVs. So he said that ghaflat ki zindagi is like the rubbish dump. The rubbish dump. That ghaflat ki zindagi. That life of negligence is like that rubbish dump. Nobody likes to live near a rubbish dump. Where they come and throw all the rubbish. Who likes to live near there? The person wants to move quickly, even if he's driving and the smell is coming inside, he wants to travel fast. And those people who are living around there, they all the time will complain to the municipality. They try and move this dump from here. We can't live here. It is unhealthy, unhygienic. We cannot eat, we can't drink, we can't seem to hold a good conversation. When we are having meals, there's nothing but filthy smell penetrating the kitchen and the lounge. So that is what sins are. And that is what life of negligence is. It is like that rubbish dump or like the jungle out there. That the person will not be able to enjoy a life of peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction. There will be no fragrance in his life. There will be nothing but filthy odor. Because the heart has now become polluted. The heart has now become the rubbish dump. Now once the heart becomes the rubbish dump, that is what we are doing. It has become a rubbish dump. Or a garbage bag or a garbage truck. That's what we have made of our hearts. Through the ears, through the eyes, through the mouth. And some people even through the nostril. We'll say, how through the nostril? Because the person is walking down the street and suddenly he smells a very beautiful fragrance on some pretty woman in front of him. So now he's following. So through the nose also he's getting all the, filling up his heart and making it like a rubbish dump. And then once that heart becomes polluted, then the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, everything now will go in the direction of nafs and shaitan. So, ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht o daman. Jo guzri meri teri yaad mein zindagi hai, wohi zindagi bas meri zindagi hai. Shah Hakim Akhtar Saadat wal Barakatuh says beautifully in another poetry of his, Jo guzri teri yaad mein zindagi hai, wohi zindagi bas meri zindagi hai. Jo ghaflat mein guzre wo kya zindagi hai, wo jeena nahi balki sharmindagi hai. Jo guzri teri yaad mein zindagi hai, wohi zindagi bas meri zindagi hai. Jo ghaflat mein guzre wo kya zindagi hai, wo jeena nahi balki sharmindagi hai. Oh Allah, in your remembrance, whatever life of mine was spent, that is the real life. The rest of it is not life. It will be nothing but regret, remorse, shame the person will have to experience because of that life of negligence. Then he says, Aapke naam par jisne hijrat kiya, pa gaya wo bahare watan. Ye zaruri gunahon ko bhi chhod de. Ye zaruri gunahon ko bhi chhod de. Asli hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. Ye zaruri gunahon ko bhi chhod de. It's necessary that the person gives up sins also. That hijrat that we talk about, we went from here to there and here to there, we changed our country and changed our town and we left this place and went to that place and I made hijrat here and he made hijrat there. All that in its place, but if that hijrat was not for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it's not hijrat. If a person made hijrat for no other purpose, just that because a lot of crime here, therefore he went away somewhere else. But he went from here with all the same sins and all the same baggage. Zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. Asli hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahin. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahin. Aashiqon ka suna hai wohi hai watan. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahin. Aashiqon ka suna hai wohi hai watan. Wherever is the city of the beloved? And that is what we are talking about. Madina Sharif, the Hujjaj will be going towards Madina Sharif. Many of them who haven't been there yet. And every other person anyway in the world who is a Muslim, who's got love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who's got ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his heart, and who says also that my true beloved is Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest, whose ihsan and favors upon the ummah are unlimited. So now if he's got ishq and muhabbat of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his desire will be to reside in Madina Sharif. That is a different thing, that throughout the world we have to work, we have to invite towards the deen, we have to propagate the message of the Quran and Sunnah. So therefore all the madaris, masajid, khanqahs, institutions of deen, all the organizations that are serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala and mankind, they must carry on. Everybody will not be able to go and settle there. But at least, the heart must be desirous that at least in our latter life, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must create the conditions that we can settle in Madina Sharif. Because that is the most beloved city to us. The city of Nabi Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the city where Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam rests, the Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mihrab, the mimbar, the Riyadul Jannah, all full of noor, the masjid full of noor, the nuruna ala noor, Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Jannatul Baqi, the thousands of sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in rest there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's family members there. So the desire is there. The most beloved city, therefore, is a shahre mehboob hoga, jahan bhi kahin aashiqo ka suna hai, wohi hai watan. Wherever is the city of the beloved, if you have to ask a true ashiq that which is your most beloved city or which is your watan, then he will say that it is where my beloved resides. So if that is the case with regards to every ashiq, even though it may be in this world of illicit beloveds, so then what about who is a true beloved, and that is Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The true ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, does it not demand that we also say that my most beloved city is Madina Tayyiba? Of course, Makkah Mukarrama has got its virtues. The first house for the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was built there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dearly loved Makkah Mukarrama. He would not have left if his people had not taken him out. All that virtues must be kept in its place, and must have that love, extreme love for Makkah Mukarrama also. But here we are talking about ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he resides, then it is a desire to be where the beloved is. Shahre mehboob hoga jahan bhi kahin, aashiqon ka suna hai, wohi hai watan. پھر مدینے کی لذت کو میں کیا کہوں کاش ہوتا مدینے میں میرا وطن پھر مدینے کی لذت کو میں کیا کہوں کاش ہوتا مدینے میں میرا وطن Then what must I say about the enjoyment of being in Madina Sharif? Phir Madine ki lazzat ko main kya kahun? The mornings of Madina Sharif, the evenings of Madina Sharif, the unur, anwarat, the barakat, the rahmat, the kayfiyat, the light of Madina Munawwara, the sukoon that a person gets in his heart. All his worries, all his hum, all his pain, all his sorrow and sadness, all his grief, everything seems to vanish the moment Madina Tayyiba, or that green dome, comes before his eyes. Phir Madine ki lazzat ko main kya kahun? Kaash hota Madine mein mera hota. How I wish that my residence should be in Madina Sharif. کس طرح میں کہوں دل سے اے دوستو زندہ باد اے وطن زندہ باد اے وطن ہے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے ہے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے اے مدینہ فدا تجھ پہ ہوں صد وطن اے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے اے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے اے مدینہ فدا تجھ پہ ہوں سد وطن. Although we are in our hometowns, but دل مدینے میں ہے. They prepared to sacrifice hundreds of such kind of cities and towns and places for the sake of Madina Sharif. The fitnas of Dajjal are soon going to come. In fact, early fitnas have all started. The real Dajjal will come when the time Allah Ta'ala knows. But the fitnas we can see have started. All those Dajjali fitnas. Father Shah Badr Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Nasihats, I discussed it in detail yet, two or three occasions. But just the beginning couplet of that Nasihat. عزیزوں کو مجھے اکراز کی ہے اب خبر کرنا. عزیزوں کو مجھے اکراز کی ہے اب خبر کرنا. اگر محفوظ رہنا ہو تو طیبہ میں گزر کرنا. اگر محفوظ رہنا ہو تو طیبہ میں گزر کرنا. جہاں اب پھنسنے والا ہے فتن میں دین و ایمان کے, بہت مشکل ہے مومن کو کہیں باہر بسر کرنا. The world is going to be plunged into different kinds of fitnas. The person who is a real mu'min and a real Muslim, is going to become very difficult for him even to look after his own iman. Security of his iman also will be a major issue. People will just be caught up in fitnas of different kinds. So at that time, if a person wants to really be protected and safeguarded from fitnas, then Madina Mebasar. Then we will say, but in Madina Sharif also now there's so much of fitnas that have entered. Go to the hotel rooms and go to the lobbies and go to the foyers and look at the newspapers and those who watch television, the different channels. So much of fitnas are there too. Indeed they are. But still, if the person wants to really protect himself, he wants to safeguard, then it'll be easy there. If the person is there sincerely for the sake of the protection of his iman, then it'll be easy, because Dajjal, the real Dajjal, will not be allowed to enter. And he himself, if he does not engage in those vices there, then it's easy from his room to the Haram Sharif, from the Haram Sharif, if he has to do some buying and shopping and marketing, he does that, and back again to his room in the Haram Sharif. Those people whom Allah Ta'ala has provided sufficiently, and they can spend much time there, and that is the best way to protect themselves from fitna and their families. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us here too, and in the latter part of our life, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala take us to Madina Sharif and create the conditions for settling there permanently, and then bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah. Time is running out, we'll make a little bit of tasbihat. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ جل جلالہ اب تو رہے بس تادم آخر, ورد زبان اے میرے الہ. لا الہ الا اللہ, لا الہ إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله. محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا 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 الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب کرم سے اپنے تو دونوں جہان دے جو مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان دے Allah with your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, as a favor upon us, because we don't have those kind of deeds and actions in our lives. But you have been so kind, so merciful, so forgiving, so tolerant. So we are asking you of your kindness and generosity, then bless us with the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Ask for the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. May Allah, we know that we are deserving of your wrath and your anger because of the haram actions in our lives. But you don't love punishment. You really love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. The governments of the world give amnesty for various things. Oh Allah, we are asking you for amnesty, security. یا رب کرم سے اپنے تو دونوں جہان دے جو مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان دے
Allah, 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 All الله 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 الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah, oh my most beneficent, most merciful, most tolerant Allah, forgive each and every one of us. We have raised our begging bowls before you after this majlis of it. Ay Rabbi Kareem, we acknowledge every sin of ours. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. But my beloved Allah, we are not bragging about our sins, not advertising our sins, not propagating our sins. We are ashamed of the sins that we committed in our lives from the time we became of age up till now. Ay Rabbi Kareem, you are well aware of every movement of ours. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. There was no question of darkness for you, my beloved Allah. Even if there is a tiny little black ant crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. You who have blessed billions of people with sight, how can you be blind to our actions and deeds? Ay Rabbi Kareem, you could have embarrassed us, shamed us, disgraced us, brought humiliation upon us when we were engaging in any kind of sin. Ay Rabbi Kareem, if we were popping drugs in our mouths, or taking wine or alcohol, or engaging in adultery or fornication, or watching some porn sites on the internet, or any kind of other haram action, you could have destroyed us there and then. You could have shaken the earth beneath our feet. You could have caused the angel of death to extract our soul. Ay Rabbi Kareem, how tolerant you are. In spite of all our sins, you concealed our weaknesses, our shortcomings. You did not cause the angel of death to give us death there and then. Ay Rabbi Kareem, in these Mubarak days, we are now seeking total forgiveness of all sins. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Ay Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Forgive us and the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab an-nar. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, in homes, or amongst us, wherever in the world they may be, bless them with complete shifa. Give us complete shifa from our spiritual ailments also. Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with envy, with jealousy. Oh my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Fill our hearts with the noor of iman, with the noor of yaqeen, with the noor of taqwa. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with your obedience and the obedience of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, fill our hearts with shukr, with zuhad, with qanaat, with contentment, with tawakkul and trust in you. Bless us with your qurb, with your closeness, with your ma'rifat. Ey Rabbi Kareem, my beloved Allah, bless the entire ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the best of dunya and akhir. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan, our egos and our passions want to draw us down the gutters of shame and disgrace and humiliation. Rabbi Kareem, you want to give us a life of respect, of dignity, of honor. Therefore, my beloved Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Bless us with truthfulness in our life, with honesty in our lives. Ey Rabbi Kareem, distance us from cheating, from deceiving, from embezzling of funds. Distance us, my beloved Allah, from anything that is haram and forbidden. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our lives, barakat in our homes, barakat in our time, barakat in every bounty that you bless us with. Ey Rabbi Kareem, throughout the world, mankind is suffering because of our sins. Forgive us and forgive the entire mankind, my Allah. Remove the difficulties, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, especially the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Somalia, Kashmir. Throughout the world, my beloved Allah, wherever the ummah is going through suffering, remove the suffering and pain. Oh my beloved Allah, disasters have struck so many parts of the world. With your fazl and kindness, remove the pain and suffering of the people who have been afflicted. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to appreciate your bounties and ni'mats upon us. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, parents and children, family members, ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. My beloved Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plenty full of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have children, but they've gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Those who have gone for Hajj, make their Hajj maqbool and mabroor. Rabbi Kareem, return them safely to their homes. My beloved Allah, ek din marna hai akhir maut. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, or any kind of haram. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Wahan ke gulshano mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Basar ab zindagi apni diyare quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi gor o kafan hota. Rabbi Kareem, those who have passed away, bless them with maghfirah. Fill their graves with noor. Bless their family members, kith and kin, with sabr jameel, ajr azim. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dearly loved his ummah. How much of sacrifices he made for the sake of this ummah. Ey Rabbi Kareem, how much of du'as he made for this ummah. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his 124,000 shining stars. the du'as that he made by making tawaf, the du'as that he made at the multazam, the du'as that he made behind the maqam Ibrahim, Safa and Marwa, Mina, and in Arafat from Zohar till Maghrib. Ah, Mary Allah, what love he had for the Ummah. When he is informed that Ummah for whom you cried so much, the Ummah for whom you were stoned, the Ummah for whom when you went into such the intestines of animals were placed on your back, that Ummah for whom you stood until your feet swelled, that Ummah for whom you were stoned in Uhud, fell down unconscious, that Ummah in discos, cinemas, theatres, rave clubs, dancing, porn sites of the internet, filthy, filthy television programs, haram, haram association, illicit love relationships, Rabbi Kareem, missing out on Salat, the most important pillar of Islam. What kind of hurt it must be causing to the very sensitive heart of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give us realization, my Allah. We all claim to have ishq and love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but we do everything that is displeasing to my beloved. Ya Rabbi Kareem, change the direction of our lives. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda, ba ummeed e karam aaya. We have come to your door with great hope, my beloved Allah. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat and mercy for us. Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke sadqe mein hamari duao ko qubool farma. Hum na qabil e qubool hai, phir bhi qubool farma. Ab jaise bhi hai, qubool farma. Bless us with what we have asked and what we have not been able to ask. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires and aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you after this majlis of Rabbi Kareem, fulfill their aspirations, tamanna. Those students who are writing examinations, give them success in their examinations. Make them assets for our community. Those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with compatible, pious marriage partners. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are well aware of the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of every individual. With your fazal, kindness and ihsan, remove the suffering, difficulties, hardship, pain and problem. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.